Welcome to our podcast this evening. God bless you for being here. We're excited to talk about things in the Word of God with you. As always, I've got my wife Julie here. I've got Benji over here. And most importantly, we've got the Spirit of the Lord here with us. And I pray that you open yourself to the Spirit of the Lord. And if the same Spirit is there that is here, then you're going to receive just as the Lord has spoken to us. And I'm excited about that. We just celebrated our church's 32nd anniversary.
Amen.
Which is exciting to think about. God's been very gracious to us. He has blessed us. Of course, that is a part of a greater heritage that's been around for 165 years. And again, we're very thankful to the Lord for bringing us to this point. And we believe that at this point in history is where God wants to begin to do new things and greater things, because we want to bring Jesus back. That's what we're all about.
Amen.
And if you've been listening on Sundays and Wednesdays and other times, you know that's become a theme here, is the remnant taking their rightful place so that they can do what needs to be done to prepare the way of the Lord in the spirit of Elijah.
Yes.
To bring Jesus back. And that's really everything that we do here. So praise the Lord for that. So usually, you've heard me talk about this before. Usually I'll come sliding in here, you know, a couple of minutes before we start, and I'll say, okay, what's the question? What are we doing today? Because I don't like to plan ahead. I don't like to think ahead. I just like to get rolling and just let them tell me what it is. A little bit different today. The Lord put a scripture on my heart, not that long ago, just a little bit ago, but the Lord put a scripture on my heart. And so I sat down and I said, Julie, I want you to open up to this scripture. I want to talk about this scripture today and see what the Holy Spirit can illuminate for us. So go ahead. If you want to follow along with us, please do. It's found in John chapter 6. And go ahead and begin to read. Let me say this. She's going to pick it up. I think I told you in verse 58. But Jesus is giving a discourse, and he's talking about the manna and how the manna of old was not sufficient. You have to partake of him, of his body, and that this is a new manna that gives a greater life than the manna did in the Old Testament. And he's causing a stir amongst the people, the disciples that are listening to him. They're starting to get restless about some things because they're troubled by what Jesus is saying. You know, again, I just want to say this up front, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, as they say, but I do want to say that it is very similar to what you hear today.
Yes.
Because people don't understand that Jesus didn't come to pat their heads and to say everything's going to be okay. That's not what, in fact, Jesus said, I've come to bring a sword. That's what he said. He said, I've come to bring a sword. I don't want to do away with the fact of God's amazing grace in our lives and the
Amen.
Peace that the Holy Spirit
Yes.
brings into our lives, that the peace that passes all understanding. But if you don't understand that the things of Jesus are meant to stir up things, and they're meant to be hard. They're not meant to be easy. They're meant to be hard, at least for those who are not doing it by the Spirit of the Lord. So anyway, that's the backdrop to it. Go ahead and pick it up and start reading verse 58.
He says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever.
Well, okay, so before you go on, just let me just mention something that I talk about, or I have talked about a lot of times in my messages or teaching. People make a mistake today because they they go before the Lord, and I've heard how many people that were trying to sound spiritual say this. They'll say, Lord, give us the manna. Give us the manna. And, you know, listen, we don't want the manna. We don't want the manna. We want the promised land.
Yes.
The manna was in the wilderness. We don't want the manna. We want the promised land. And, excuse me, Jesus was always trying to get people to push toward the supernatural.
Yes.
He was always trying to get them to push toward the greater. He was always trying, and in our minds, we think about the manna from heaven, and we kind of glorify it in some way, but we don't want the manna. We want the promised land that has responsibility.
Right.
That means you have to go to work. That's the greater thing. That's the greater thing. So go ahead and keep reading on now.
So these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?"
Now, before she keeps reading, I want to make this point. Notice what it said. Many of his disciples. Mm-hmm. That meant followers. Someone that's a disciple is someone that follows.
Right.
It says many of his disciples said that this is a hard saying. Read it one more time.
Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?"
Yep. See, and that is the same spirit that is in the followers of Christ today. It's the exact same attitude and the exact same spirit. When they don't hear what they want to hear, they say, "This is hard. We're going to come up with a gospel that fits what we want it to be."
Right.
And they've been doing that now for so many decades that you can hardly find anywhere on this planet anymore where it's not a man-made gospel. Yeah. Oh, now don't get me wrong. They use scripture. They use scripture to justify themselves. Let me just remind everybody, the devil used scripture too.
That's right.
You know, just because someone uses scripture, that doesn't make it holy.
You know, it's not just because those ministers or the people in those ministries are not reading these things. A lot of them probably are, but you know what a lot of those ministers are saying is, "This is not the kind of thing that are going to fill the seats in my church."
Well, that's a part of it, whether it's filling the seats or just
forming a convenient theology that fits their circumstances.
Your life, your own life. Yeah. It could be a church.
Well, this is what's happened in my life, and I love God, so I'm going to form a personal theology that explains why things are happening in my life
that's
the way
right.
they are.
Well, I served God the best I could, and things are not the way I think they should be. And so there must be an answer that I haven't figured out yet. And so I'm going to make up an answer that explains it all, not ever realizing that they never actually were taught the truth about things.
Right.
And so basically what people say is exactly what she just read. Oh, this is too hard. Now remember, they're getting this from the lips of Jesus.
Right.
How many times have we heard people, and maybe if you're listening, maybe you've even said this to yourself or to someone else. If Jesus were to come and talk to me, then I would know exactly what the truth is, and I would follow it, and I would never disobey it. Well, that's not true. They had the words directly from Jesus. These were disciples that got to see the supernatural works of God, and they still, that deceptive spirit that is in the church today, forget right. the world, that's in the church today, was still there, that was there back then, and it makes them say, "Oh, this is hard. This is hard. And it's not supposed to be hard.
Who can understand it?
This is hard. This is well, wait a minute. I heard the man of God talk about destruction, and well, there was this hurricane that came through, and I'm just not willing to accept that all those people that died from the hurricane is because God allowed a God wouldn't do that. God wouldn't allow a hurricane. God wouldn't allow pestilence. God wouldn't allow, God wouldn't allow. I've been told in my seeker-friendly church, I've been told as I read the Bible in my hot tub, I've been told that God is a God of love, and God would never, he would never allow these things to happen. So this is too hard, and so I'm going to make up my own way of doing things.
Right,
I'm going to come up with my own understanding, and I'm going to figure it out. God would never allow that.
That'll make me feel better about what's happened.
And what has really happened is they really know nothing about the Word of God.
Right.
And the biggest reason is because they've got no one teaching them. But they have no understanding of the Word of God. They have no understanding that the same Bible that talks about God being a God of love, just as many, if not many times more, says God is a God of judge. He is a judge that sits in heaven. They don't understand that. And so just like these people we just read about with Jesus, by the tens of millions, listen, we've got them in our lives just like you have those people in your lives. And they sit there and they say, oh, that's not the God that I serve. And so they come up with a God for themselves. And it sounds good, and they even use scripture, and they even put commercials on TV that says, he's just like us.
Right.
You know those commercials.
Right.
You've seen them during the Super Bowl and the football games and whatnot. You've seen them. Oh, this is the God that I serve. He's just like us. Listen, let me tell you something. You're in trouble if God's like you. You're in trouble. If God's like you, you're in trouble.
Right.
Let me just be, and here's the good news. He's not like you.
Right.
He's not like you. Oh, he was tempted the way we're tempted. But he didn't respond the way we respond.
That's right.
He responded in holiness. He responded in victory. He didn't succumb to it the way people around us do. And so this is a hard saying. This is hard. Do you ever think that? Sure you do. You think that to yourself, boy, this is hard. I said, I think it was this past Sunday, I jokingly said, but it was true. I said, I could fill up 10 churches with the people that have come and gone from this church because it got hard. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not what they would say. They would say there's 100 different reasons. But the real reason is it got hard. They didn't want to hear the truth about their children. They didn't want to hear the truth about their family or about themselves. They didn't want to hear the truth about their finances. They didn't want to hear the truth about the sickness. They didn't want to hear the truth. And so it got hard. And when it gets hard, that's the response that we give. Oh, this is too hard. It's impossible to understand. And if it's impossible to understand, then it's not of God. That's what they were saying. If you read between the lines in that scripture, that's what they're saying. They're saying, who can understand this? In other words, this can't be from God, because God would never give us something we couldn't understand. God wouldn't do that. Go ahead and keep reading.
When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing.
You see, that is what this ministry has become. It's become that scripture. That is the revelation that God has given us. And it's so much more than just the words. That there's so much more to it if you understand it by the Spirit. What Jesus was getting at was, the reason you're having a hard time is because you refuse to get out of the flesh. Mm-hmm. You're having a hard time because all you can see is what's in front of you. And Jesus was always challenging people,
yes.
And not just
yes.
Jesus. You go read the Apostle Paul. You go read all of his writings, which make up most of the rest of the New Testament. You go read him, not just him, go read Peter. They were always challenging them to get out of the flesh and to move into the supernatural. Yes. So much so that the Apostle Paul said, don't even look at what you can see. He said, look at what is unseen.
Right.
It is so important. If you're going to understand, you cannot do it with the flesh having any part. You say, well, the flesh has to have some part. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus just...
The flesh profits nothing.
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 Nothing. The flesh profits nothing. But Pastor, you know there's people... There's people that we need to minister to, and we can only minister to them if we do it in a flesh way. Then you don't understand the Word of God. You don't understand what Jesus taught. And Jesus was trying to get across to these people. He was trying to get them to understand. The reason you don't get it is because you're doing it in the flesh. And he said, the flesh profits nothing. You have to do it as a supernatural a spirit being. That's the only way. And that's why I get up week after week. Week after week, I get up and I say, we have got to keep pushing to be a supernatural person. We've right. got to get to that point where the flesh is irrelevant. The flesh is irrelevant. You say, but Pastor, doesn't God want, you're the one that says God wants my body healed. Yeah, but he wants your body healed because you're a supernatural person. Because you're a spirit being. That's what Romans 8 says. Romans 8 says if you're led by the Spirit and you do everything by the Spirit, then that same Spirit will also touch your body.
Amen.
And make it strong yes. and mighty.
Yes.
But it happens because you're a supernatural person. God, this is all about the remnant, correct? This yes. is about the remnant. The remnant is going to be a group of people that are supernatural in nature. They're supernatural in how they live. They're supernatural in what they see. And their flesh is irrelevant to them. And I know there's a lot of people that might watch and say, oh, yeah, but, you know, when those floodwaters are rising or when the disease is, you're going to be thinking about your flesh. Well, you know, I've said this during my message a couple of times. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. But this is how you deal with those things. On the night of the hurricane, Helene, that came, what's the name of it? Helene, is that
Helene,
right?
Helene, something like that.
Something, whatever it was. On that night, I was woken up at 5 in the morning, and I turned on the television. I was woken up by the Holy Spirit, and I turned on the television, and the first words I heard come out of the mouth of the person on the screen, it was this. They said, if you live in Walton and Gwinnett County, immediately go and take cover in the safest place of your house. They said, because you're about to get rocked. And the Lord put me on my prayer rug, and I said, God, I'm going back to sleep, but you've woke me up for a reason. I said, Lord, by your power, I ask you to move this from us. Move this from us. I went back to sleep. We got up and woke up the next morning, and there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing. Then I had someone from our church bring me a newspaper clipping, and in the newspaper clipping, it actually said, during the night, it said Walton County was supposed to get the brunt of all of it. They said at the last second, it made a turn to where Walton County was spared. Walton and Gwinnett were spared. And I said, Lord, no one else might know what happened, but I know what happened. You see, as a supernatural person, that's how you deal with it. That's how you deal with it. And people say, yeah, but what about all the people suffering? My heart goes out to those people.
Yes, yes.
My heart goes out to them, not because they're suffering, but because I want them to be in the place with the Lord where they can speak to the hurricane and say, no, you won't come here. You see, that's what God desires. He wants a supernatural remnant. Mm-hmm. That can do that.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to these people. He says, you're walking with me and you still don't get it? Oh, but this is too hard to understand. And Jesus said, no, you only don't understand it because you're doing it in the flesh. You don't understand it because you don't want to understand it. You want to be a flesh person. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what I've been through in my life. No, I understand what I'm telling you. It's irrelevant. God wants to redeem you and make you a supernatural person.
That's right.
It's irrelevant. Go ahead and finish and read the rest of it.
But the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it had been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more.
Boy, what a statement that last verse is, because that's what you're seeing in the church today. How many people, again, by the tens of millions, remember, it says, we're talking about the disciples. That's what she read. It says, this is the disciples of Christ. This is not the Gentiles. This is not the world. This is not the unbelievers. These are disciples that have chosen not to believe and to walk away. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're seeing in the church today. By the tens of millions, you're seeing people, they're selling their birthright the way Esau did. And there might come a time where they bitterly weep the way Esau did, wanting it back. But once you sell that birthright, it's gone. It's gone. And you're filled now with a world of Christians that are aimless and they've given up their birthright. Then you say, well, Pastor, what are you getting at? Are you saying those people aren't saved? Are you saying, I'm not saying they're not saved. What I'm saying is it's a dangerous game. It is a dangerous game to play to be in a position where you are a disciple, but you get into the same place. Well, this is hard. This is hard. What the man of God is saying, the prophetic word of God, the anointed word, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for me to accept that. So I'm just going to serve and love Christ the way I want to serve and love Christ. If I had a dime for every person that said, I love Christ and I'm going to love him the way I want to love him, I'd have tens of millions of dollars probably. I'm being facetious, of course, but I'd have a lot of money. Because that's what most Christians today do. They get to that place, oh, it's just hard. So I'm going to serve him the way I want to serve him. And I want you to hear it. You might know me. You might not know me. You might have watched every podcast. This might be the first podcast you've watched. But I'm telling you, you better listen to this man of God. That doesn't please the Lord. It doesn't please the Lord. You're not allowed to serve God the way you want to serve God. It's about pleasing God. That's what it's about. You have to serve God the way he wants you to please him, the way he wants you to serve him. That's how you do it. And it's a dangerous game. And are there people that, I said this a couple of Sundays ago, I have this awful feeling that there's going to be a lot of people that maybe people think are on their way to heaven, but they're not. And I'm telling you, that's a hard thing to say. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to say. And people say, well, you sound like those old-time Bible people, you know, from decades ago. Well, you know, you have to say the truth no matter when it's from.
Right.
And I just, if there's anyone that is listening that I can get a hold of your heart and I could say to you what Jesus said to them when he said, the flesh profits nothing. He said, the spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. And we've had so many people that we've been acquainted with or we know that say, well, what you're saying is just too hard. Or what? And again, they don't say it's too hard. What they say is you've offended me.
Yeah, right.
You've offended me. And I they don't understand. They think they don't get that that's exactly what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the spirit of Christ, you can't help but bring offense. You do it in love. Absolutely. Why do I do what I do? I do it because I love people. And I've said to people many times, I've been so many times, people say, Pastor, you're so hard. But I always say to them, I'm hard because I love you.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That's what, it's always in love. So, I hope that this message gets across to people. And this is early in October. I pray that people come and watch this podcast in the weeks and months, maybe even years to come. Whenever you watch it, the truth is still the same. Jesus is pushing you to be a supernatural person. He's pushing you to not look at the natural. He's pushing you to say, to do away with, oh, this is too hard. He's pushing you to believe.
Yes.
He's pushing you because that's what the remnant's about. Yeah, there's a lot of hard things going around in the world today. Go ask the people that are in the Asheville area. Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard. And yes, God loves them. But God's going to find his remnant. He's going to find his remnant. And it's, I believe now's the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have anything you want to add. Anything? Praise the Lord. Benji, give them all the details.
Yes. We've got our regular schedule coming up. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. service. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. service. In person at the City on a Hill Church in Loganville. Also available on our online social platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, City on a Hill Church, Coa Church. On our online platforms, we've always got something going on every day. It's not a service. It's a devotion that comes out on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Remnant 101 with me on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. These Calling the Remnant podcasts come out every Friday at 8 p.m. on our online platforms. You can listen to those podcasts on Spotify, wherever else your podcasts are available. Siri and Alexa can play your podcasts for you. Anything else?
That sounds like it. Well, I just leave you with the Word of God. I read to you, or I actually, Julie read to you directly from the Word of God.
Yes.
Directly from the Word of God. But it just as well could be spoken to people today. Lord, this is too hard. And they walk. Could you imagine walking away from Jesus? But you know what? By the tens of millions, people, Christians, have done it today. They've walked away. That's exactly what they've done. They've walked away because they said, this is too hard. I'm going to serve God, but I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's not serving God at all. That's not serving God at all.
And it also doesn't change the truth.
It doesn't change the truth. Serving God the way you want to serve God, that's not serving God. Just because people say, well, God is a God of love, he would never judge people like this. He would never allow, these things have got to be there's got to be something else. God would never allow these things to happen to people because he loves people. You can say that, but it doesn't make it true. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord reveals the truth, even as we read in the Word of God. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Mm-hmm.